So, Ace, you're in Dallas, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think.
Yeah. I think the best tweet that happened was some guy tweeted a friend of mine while we were watching the game who said that he had just won $1,500 by not going to Dallas.
Yeah.
He didn't find that funny.
No, because I'm on the other end of that, unfortunately.
Yeah, wow, that was... Wow.
Wow. Yeah. I think the moment of realization that we were completely screwed was when their cornerback came up and absolutely cold-cocked Thomas Rawls in the backfield, and that's their cornerback and our, like, foolish running back. And they just were way, way more physical than us.
It was either that or when Denard threw his first interception and the cornerback just tossed Roundtree out off the field. He was like, go away. True.
Both times the same cornerback, Dean Millen.
Yeah, we kept very, going very after good. That guy. Like, we could have tried going after the other guy. He seemed to fall over.
Yeah.
Like, I like that quality in the cornerbacks that I'm opposing. So, like, I guess, I mean, you were there, so what was it like? What was it like, I guess?
Well, I mean, the stadium experience was pretty incredible, actually. You know, it is a bit of a, you know, it definitely had the NFL environment going with all the rock music and whatever, but the inside of that stadium is incredible. We wandered in and somehow got led into the club level. I'm not sure how we did that, except my friend's girlfriend is quite personable, I guess. But so we were just, like, before the game hanging out, like, grabbing $8 Miller Lights because that was... going right, I guess, and then I got like a $13 Kobe beef burger, which is actually probably the best burger I've ever had in my life, and you know, so that was nice. And then the rest of it was, you know, that game.
Yeah, but,
you know, it was a lot of fun until
what? I'm still recovering from what was a... sorry, I turned the TV off and then I turned it back on. And I'm kind of out of it, Ace. I don't know if you can tell.
Yeah, you're not alone in that regard, I don't think.
So what was the worst part? Like, what just... What was the worst bit? What was, like, the absolute worst thing?
I'd have to go with the drunk Alabama fans just screaming SEC over and over again behind us. I don't know if it was that as much as just the soul-crushing feeling of doom from about 5 minutes in going forward, where you just...
Yeah, like you're looking
at the
clock.
We knew exactly what was going to happen. We were sitting there like, there's no possible way this ends well.
There's like 5 minutes
left. And we were there for another 3 hours after that feeling hit.
It was just like you're looking at the clock and you're like, I can't believe how much of this game is left.
Or actually, you know what? The worst part may have been DeHart absolutely lighting up Dennis Northfleet on that kickoff return, just because we would never be in a position to play a 5-star running back recruit as a kickoff coverage guy, let alone having them then go down and just absolutely blow up our kick returner despite him being like 5'7".
Yeah, well,
that was bad too.
Norfleet's not any bigger; he's probably smaller. So
that's true, but still, DeHart on kickoff coverage. Come on,
wow. He's like their 4th-string guy.
Yeah, but yeah, it was just a 3-hour-long worst moment, I think.
So you're for worst moment, you're going for all of it.
Pretty much.
Okay, that's so, man. I think the most depressing thing to me was the fact that it took 14 minutes and 30 seconds for Denard to get his first called run of the game.
Yes.
And I think he had two or something in the first half, and then he mixed in a couple scrambles there. But that was like, you know, any hope that you had that there'd be something, some sort of accord reach between Borges and Denard over an offseason that would, you know, put him in an offense that is more suited to what he does is pretty much out the window.
Yeah.
Cause that wasn't it.
No,
I mean, there was a throw to Gardner that was like a corner route and they went play action, which like, Is anybody in the Bama secondary? It went to action from under center. Is anybody in the Bama secondary going to be like, this is terrifying to me? The prospect that Vincent Smith might break through into the secondary. And he threw a corner out to Gardner that got broken up. But they showed a replay of it from an end zone type camera. And two things were obvious. One, that he had made the right decision, that was the guy you could throw it to. And two, that guy was not open and nobody was open. So, like, the whole game plan seemed to be like, let's see if Denard can throw into NFL windows. And the answer was no, but I think we knew what the answer was there. And I if you're really just treating this as an exhibition, then I guess fine. Because that's what I was after about 10 minutes. I'm like, well, let's just get out of here without losing our top quarterback and top tackle.
And about that.
Yeah, well, you know, they say that whatever Clint Countess has, it is not an ACL, and that Lewin should be fine, although Heiko said that he had to be helped off the field, but apparently whatever.
Yeah, he had to be helped off the field both after the injury and then when they were heading to the locker room after the game. He wasn't exactly cruising off under his own power. He was sort of leaning pretty heavily on a trainer.
Yeah, so we'll see if that's accurate or not, but
yeah.
Apparently both those guys are not done for the year, although Countess might be out for a few weeks, and Avery did not
acquit himself well.
It's tough when you've got the guy's not healthy. Like, he's not 100% and hasn't been for 6 months, and you put him in that position and it's just like, ouch, man. But they put in Jared Wilson. When they were moving Gordon down to the nickel, Jared Wilson came in instead of Marvin Robinson, and I was like, wow. So there's that little personnel note that we got, which is great. I just don't get it, man. I don't get anything. Like, why?
That was the number one thing I was asking myself for most of that game. I didn't get the offensive game plan, and
I mean, cosmically, man.
Playing the game in the first place?
Yeah, well, why did we do this? why was this ever thought to be a good idea? Like, I when they announced it, I'm like, I wish this was a home and home, but I guess I'll take it. And then as the game started getting closer, I'm like, you know what? They've signed like 40 more players over the past 5 years than we do. And we're in a terrible position to actually be even slightly competitive in this game. And it's just like, I don't think we should play teams that, I mean, it's like we're in a position that we could beat a really good USC team that only has like 70 scholarship players or whatever. But I just don't think we should sign up for getting our heads kicked in like that.
Yeah, especially since the fact that we scheduled the game in the first place makes it pretty difficult for us to pull the oversigning card afterwards without making it sound like some serious sour grapes.
Well, if we're going to play an SEC team in that kind of situation, it should be Georgia or Alabama. It's not good. Yeah. I mean, if we might have beaten Florida, I mean, they did not look particularly good yesterday, but it's just, I don't get it, man. It doesn't seem like that was ever going to work out, but I don't think Brandon really even thinks about that. He's just like, that this will get us attention, and all attention is good, even if it's attention that results in a 41-14 blowout.
Yeah, and I hate to break it to Dave Brandon, but that kind of attention is no good at all from a football perspective.
When he left Domino's, they were in the position where they just said, all right, you know what? Everybody thinks we suck. So this is going to be our ad campaign. We're sorry, we suck. That was the state of the brand. I'm just like, I don't know what the equivalent of doing that at Michigan is, but I don't think we can, because you're supposed to be all tough. You can't be soft. Anyway, positives? Are there positives? Is there anything in this vast abyss of nothingness and despair?
You know, Norfleet, your boy Norfleet,
yeah,
was pretty nice on the kickoff.
He did, didn't he? That was
he was pretty close to breaking a couple.
Yeah,
if we weren't playing Alabama.
And I think that if they were going to hand off to a tiny guy who couldn't break tackles, they probably should have been handing off to Norfleet. I mean, God love Vincent Smith, but I mean, when that guy's your leading guy with the ball, that's bad.
Yeah, I almost lost it toward the end of the game when he had that 22-yard run. And, you know, at the end of the carry, he started running into a safety and kind of stopped to try to juke him and slipped. And the Michigan fan behind me said, you know, Vincent Smith would have had 3 more yards there if he just would have plowed right through that guy. I almost missed the Devin Gardner touchdown because I was turning at that guy and staring at him like he was the biggest freaking idiot on planet Earth. Because I could not comprehend how somebody could say that after watching the rest of that game.
Yeah, or...
Or just Vincent Smith's career.
Yeah. And then Rawls looked just nothing. I mean...
That was never going to work. He can't run through those defenders.
Well, and then
That's his game.
They were, they weren't even having him go, like, north and south. They had this... They were doing that
hitting
thing...
him on the edge.
Which is just like... It seemed like they had one run play. You know? They had that sort of...
The inverted veer where Denard didn't keep...
That wasn't even the inverted veer because, like, he was not in a position where he was going to keep... I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's... So the thing about the veer is that it's... The nice thing about it from a running the quarterback perspective is if you contain with that defensive end, then the quarterback gets to keep the ball. And I don't... They did run it once, but most of the plays were not that. And, you know, they talk about how Denard actually said that those might have been read plays that he could have actually pulled on, but he didn't, and I don't know why. And I'm not sure how much I believe that, given like the Nebraska game last year and all that stuff, where like he might technically have some sort of read there, but like the read is like if it's completely wide open, then you keep instead of like biasing towards Denard getting the ball, but. You know, by the end of the first quarter, it was like, let's just try to get out of here without getting everybody killed. So maybe at that point, the game plan made sense because it's just like, let's just go home.
Yeah.
God damn it.
that about sums it up. I can't formulate intelligent thoughts right now.
No.
It's just just an overwhelming cloud of God damn it right now.
Yeah, this is like, I'm not even that hungover. Like, I thought I'd be more hungover. I'm basically good to go, except my brain is just full of God damn it.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I was too demoralized to drink after the game last night.
Wow.
Now, in fairness, we were drinking all day beforehand, so that might have also played a part, but I'm feeling fine now.
No, like, I remember I sat down, and there's a carefully, like, hand-selected group of people who I watch the games with who have the same sort of attitude towards the game as I do, which is, like, if you say something, it had better goddamn well be about the game. And so I sat down, and I told them that I was hoping that I wouldn't start drinking until halftime, and I didn't even get to the end of the first quarter. Because usually I don't drink during games. Like, my job is to pay attention to Michigan football in a very minute sense. But there was, like, I have to do the UFR, but, like, what is the point?
I'm so, so sorry about that. Because I never want to watch that game again.
No, and, like, is anyone going to read that? No. But I have to do it because it's, like, my job, and people get really...
That RPS number is going to be really fun.
I don't even get a... I mean, on the one hand, like, yeah, it was a complete disaster of a game plan, but on the other hand, like, they weren't going to win no matter what they did, so...
No.
Yeah. I should complain about the refs a little bit, though, because, like, they missed that Rawls face mask, which was blatant, and that was the same play where they got a hold on Lewin, who kind of devolved back into freshman Lewin, but... that's another minor bad thing. I thought the Roundtree thing was probably interference, but who knows? There were a couple other pretty questionable calls that went against Michigan. So you're trying to like keep it together against this Alabama team and you're getting screwed by the refs. So that was just like the worst case scenario in terms of both opponent and game plan and like things that are actually happening on the field. And so that's how you get down 31-0. 31-0. Has that ever happened before?
Not.
There was that
memory.
There was that Tennessee Citrus Bowl that was pretty bad. I remember I didn't watch the fourth quarter of that.
Yeah, the Casey Clausen. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was like a... They were going to be in the national championship game, and then they lost the SEC title game. And we had backed our way into the Citrus Bowl, and we got dragged up into it because we're Michigan, and they pass over a couple of more deserving Big Ten teams. And that was just bad news from the start, and everybody knew it. That was the game where I think a Tennessee tight end outran Cato June for like 50 yards. Jason Witten, I think. Man.
That doesn't surprise me for some reason.
Yeah. Man. You know what's bad? When Jordan Kovacs is not quite tackling guys. Like, he was there, and he's making a lot of great tackles, but he was also getting powered through, which, you know, that didn't happen all last year. And, like, when Jordan Kovacs can't make tackles on people... That, for one, it means that he's just bursting into the secondary at a rate that he should not be bursting into the secondary. And for two, it just means crap.
Yeah, I think three of Michigan's four top tacklers were defensive backs. It was
yes.
Kovacs, Gordon, and then Raymond Taylor, who was the fourth leading tackler last night.
Wow. My God.
So, and I don't believe Quentin Washington recorded a tackle despite playing a lot.
Well, that's... I mean, he's not ever going to be... I mean, you just want him to hold up against blocking, and that I don't think that was happening.
He did not.
I wasn't really paying super close attention after about...
Yeah.
After
the I spent parts of the first quarter just staring at the defensive tackles just because I was curious to see how they would play, and I got too sad to continue doing that for the rest of the game because they were getting so routinely just blown off the ball. I think Richard Ash made it in for a couple of snaps, and within, you know, the ball was barely in A.J. McCarron's hands, and he was 2 yards back off the line of scrimmage.
I do remember a play like that because I saw dreadlocks on the defensive line. I'm like, oh, that must be Ash. So then I watched him, and then I was like, So, but this, I mean, it is this Alabama offensive line that's the best in 15 years or whatever, so maybe it won't be that bad against other teams and stuff.
Yeah. I was actually mildly encouraged by Will Campbell being able to make at least a few plays against that line. We're not going to play against a team that good the rest of the year.
I hope not.
I'd be shocked if Ohio State is that good, and that's nothing against Ohio State, but
no.
If Alabama isn't the best team in the country or be very close second best.
I mean,
I'm very, very frightened for whoever's on top.
OSU had, I mean, they eventually blew the doors off Miami, but I was watching big portions of that game, and they were fortunate not to give up a couple touchdowns early, like just flat out drops by Bowling Green wide receivers, not Bowling Green, Miami wide receivers. And they could have been down 14-0, and that would have been a somewhat interesting game for a half. And they're figuring out whether they want their converted tight end or a true freshman playing right tackle. They're not Alabama, but neither are we.
Clearly.
You know what I miss? I miss a real good time, and I'm afraid that maybe that was why we had a real good time last year, because Pitbull had magnanimously come down and given us a good time, and now that there is no Pitbull on football Saturdays, which you have not experienced yet, but it's a little bit jarring. I'm wondering if we will not have a real good time this year because nobody is telling us to do so under an overpass drinking Dr. Pepper.
Is he still stuck in Alaska? Did he ever come back from that Walmart appearance?
I assume that he came back from the Kodiak, Alaska Walmart. I mean, I can't tell you that I got a beer with him.
If he didn't, we might have to send out a search party and rescue Pitbull and bring back the real good times.
That would be a great movie starring like Jason Statham.
Yes.
Who's got Pitbull? Is it literally bears? I think it's literally bears. He's been captured by intelligent bears in Kodiak, Alaska, and Jason Statham has to go rescue him. And that's...
I think we need to start a Kickstarter. I'll
get Well, first we got to get Statham on board. And then...
That shouldn't be hard.
That guy does a lot of work, man. He's in the Expendables. Yeah. He's in all those movies where he's got, like, drugs in his heart, and if he stops having sex outside, like, he dies.
Yeah, it's true.
At this point, normally I would say we have digressed and we should return back to it, but I actually like this avenue of conversation more than what we were talking about before.
I'm enjoying this a lot more than rehashing the game.
You had to bring it up again.
Sorry. Rehashing something that happened that I'm not going to talk about anymore.
Yeah. So James Ross replaced Kenny Demons for chunks of the game, which was like, that's probably not good.
Like, you know, there were a lot of true freshmen out there.
Yeah.
Harry Richardson got in. He weighs 160 pounds.
Yeah, well,
I don't know what they were expected to happen, but...
Well, they got
to
play him, but... Yeah. And they have that JUCO, like, Alabama had a JUCO at the other corner, and it's just like, man, we're playing this team with one arm tied behind our back. And I know that, you know, I don't want Michigan to start oversigning, and the JUCO thing is always kind of dodgy, and then it just sucks. That... I mean, we have this honor that we want to have, and it's based on having the kids already have good high school educations, which is not really under our control, and I wish that we would change our honor to be like, we need to serve these guys well once they get on campus, instead of turning guys away because of naughty things that their high schools did to them because they're... The high schools are bad. But that's really kind of a philosophical discussion that has no place in a football podcast. Let's go back to talking about Jason Statham rescuing Pitbull from Kodiak, Alaska.
Yes.
So, should we just write the entire script live on air?
I think this is clearly the direction we should take right now.
All right. Let's do that. Actually, let's not do that. Let's just stop this.
That works too.
All right, Ace. Have a lovely trip back. I'm sorry that I didn't stop you somehow from doing this to yourself. I feel like I could have done more. Oh wow, I didn't mean to make that a Paterno callback.
Oh no,
I didn't mean it. It just happened.
This is clearly where we need to wrap this up and move forward with our lives. I'm going to start heavily drinking at the airport, I think.
Oh.
As soon as I get there.
Oh, God. All right. Ace, thanks for calling in, and Godspeed.
Someday I'll learn what it's like to say no. Someday I'll learn what it's like to say no. But I just ain't ready for what it feels like to say no. body like an indestructible machine. So I raise a toast to the people who think that it's just as easy as turning down a couple of drinks. To the ones that still think the walking is a sentence, 'cause they just don't know how hard it is. They don't know what it's like to say no. Man, they don't know what it's like to say no. And they won't ever have to learn how to just say no. And now I'm gonna learn what it's like to say no. Oh girl, you're gonna learn what it's like to say no. Even if you don't care much for what it feels like to say no.
The game is over.